I'm sure we would all agree that the Bible is the very best historical record of the event we call Noah's flood. It is recorded in Genesis chapters 6 to 9, but mentioned in several places in the New Testament, as we've just heard from our dear brother Wes. And, of course, he brought out as well our dear master Jesus Christ mentioned this particular time as well. Sometimes these computers have a mind of their own. From the creation of Adam to the day of the flood was dried up was a total of 1,656 years. The event of the flood falls on our chart of the ages, where you see the red arrow pointing. I don't know if you can see that far or not. There are many ancient civilizations which attest to a great flood in their historical artifacts and documents, as I am sure we will hear from our next speaker. Noah's flood was the result of breaking the last of many rings that surrounded the earth, making the great deluge, as we are talking about this weekend. God, foreseeing the accelerated decline of the human race, tainted with the intermingling of the fallen angels, apparently forestalled the last ring for the very purpose of wiping out all but eight of the antediluvian human race. Sin started, as we know, with the disobedience of Adam in the Garden of Eden. And all from Adam were born in sin and shapen in iniquity. So the human family were all born in sin under the sentence of death. However, the sin was accentuated by the angels who chose a course of disobedience with the human family. Recall the scripture in Jude 1, verse 6. And the angels which kept not their first estate, but left their own habitation, he hath reserved in everlasting chains under darkness unto the judgment of the great day. And the inference of Hebrews 2, 5. For unto the angels hath he not put in subjection the world to come, whereof we speak. The inference is that the world that was before the flood was given to the angels to help mankind. But as the previous scripture suggests, some went too far and became disobedient. Disobedience to God's direction always has its consequences. The angels that sang in the morning of creation were given a supervisory work to do in respect to mankind. But misled by Lucifer's influence and their own lusts, they saw that the daughters of men were fair and took them wives of all that they chose. The results were horrific in creating a violent world to live in. Giants were born to this unauthorized union of materialized spirit beings and human women. These were styled Nephilim. Nephilim were far superior to the race of Adam, both physically and mentally. But their influence on humanity was corrupt, and they accelerated sin and ruthless commotion on those who were their inferiors. Generation after generation passed on these mixed hybrids, spiraling mankind into a widespread world of appalling corruption and every imaginable practice of sin. God became so upset by the evil and corruption in the human race that it grieved him in his heart that he had made man. Mankind had strayed so very far away from anything close to God's image. Genesis 6, 5 and 6 states, "And God saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart were only evil continually." Imagine. "And it repented the Lord that he had made man on the earth, and it grieved him at his heart." Genesis 6, 7. "And the Lord said, I will destroy man who I have created from the face of the earth, both man and beast and creeping thing, and the fowls of the air, for it repenteth me that I have made them." Genesis 6, 12 and 13. "And God looked upon the earth, and behold, it was corrupt, for all flesh had corrupted his way upon the earth. And God said unto Noah, The end of all flesh is come before me, for the earth is filled with violence." Notice, through them, the Nephilim, I believe it's referring to, the Nephilim and fallen angels who materialized. "And behold, I will destroy them," the Nephilim, etc., "with the earth." Did the Nephilim have a right to come back to life in the resurrection? Why or why not? The Nephilim were not of the Adamic stock, and therefore did not have redemption through the ransom merit that Jesus provided for Adam and his race. "For as in Adam all die." In other words, those who came from the Adamic stock or lineage, the Nephilim had other fathers of human fathers that had materialized from the spiritual realm. Christ did not pay a corresponding price for them, because these Nephilim were an illegitimate race, unauthorized by divine authority, and therefore hopelessly relegated to eternal extinction. God identifies Noah and his family as the only ones righteous to escape his divine wrath on society. His decree is to send a flood and destroy all flesh on the face of the earth. God instructs Noah to build an ark. Since it never rained before and the earth was fed by a mist, people just jeered and laughed at Noah and his family for doing something that ridiculous to them. People were so corrupted by the Nephilim by then that no words of righteousness could move them away from sin and into a condition of repentance. Incidentally, Lamech had died about 5 years before the flood came, and Methuselah died the very same year that the flood came. The longest living human being, 969 years, had seen the deterioration of the human race in the world that was. His name, Methuselah, was significant, as we will learn later in the panel discussion. So why was Noah selected to escape the coming storm? The Bible says in Genesis 6:9 that Noah was a just man and perfect in his generations. And Noah walked with God. It often says that, walked with God, as a phrase when somebody was close to him. Noah was a just man and perfect in his generations. But what does it mean that Noah was perfect in his generations? Well, Noah, his wife, three sons, and their wives were the only humans that would survive this great deluge. Noah's sons were Shem, Ham, and Japheth. Noah was perfect in his generation because he was of purely Adamic stock, not impaired nor blemished with the seed of angels, as apparently the rest of humanity was. So would his three sons be, the life givers, since they came from Noah. Reprint 39:34. Noah took the family into the ark. After 7 days, it began to rain. He took the animals in, and God had instructed him. Noah and his family pictured the gospel-age church members, as was mentioned earlier, that will be saved in the calamity which is about to overwhelm the world. But instead of the old world deluged by water, it will be the present world symbolically engulfed by fire. Again, reprint 39:34. Imagine the challenge of getting all those animals on that ark. Wow. After 7 days, it began raining, and it rained for 40 days and 40 nights. Mankind and the Nephilim were experiencing the fierceness of God's wrath. Is there any connection to the hard rain here and the falling frozen water hail in the climatic end of the present world order in the seventh plague? I wonder. God's wrath will be felt there as well. Revelation 16:21. And do the 40 days suggest a judgment period? Perhaps more discussion will follow. Imagine it raining for 40 days and 40 nights. Noah was 600 years old when the flood waters began. After the 30th day, the Lord shuts the door, the fountains of the great deep are broken up, and the windows of heaven are opened, and the ark rises up off the earth. By the 40th day, the floods were upon the earth. Every man, beast, creeping thing, and the fowls of the air had died on the face of the whole earth. Now please turn with me, if you will, to Genesis 7:19. There often is a question amongst Bible students about, let's see if I find my Bible here, about was the flood regional or was it all over the world? Have you heard that question come up? Well, I'd kind of like to give you my slant on it. Genesis 7:19, and you tell me what you think. Please turn with to that section with me, will you? Genesis 7:19. And the flood was 40 days upon the earth, and the waters increased and bare up the ark, and it was lift up above the earth. And the waters prevailed and were increased greatly upon the earth. And the ark went upon the face of the waters. And the waters prevailed exceedingly upon the earth, and all the high hills that were under the whole heaven were covered. What does that sound like? And all flesh died and moved upon the earth, both of fowl and of cattle and of beast and of every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth, and every man, all in whose nostrils was the breath of life, and all that was in the dry land died, and every living substance was destroyed, which was upon some of the ground? No, which was upon the face of the ground, both man and cattle and creeping things, and the fowl of heaven, and they were destroyed from the earth. And Noah only remained alive, and they that were with him in the ark. The waters prevailed upon the earth 150 days. Now I want to point you to back to 19 just for a minute. And the waters prevailed exceedingly above upon the earth, and all the high hills, all, not some of the high hills, all the high hills that were under the whole heaven were covered. That doesn't sound like a region to me. I don't know about you. 15 cubits upward did the waters prevail. I think that's upward from the highest hills. In other words, you take the highest hills or mountains, and 15 cubits above that were the waters. That's the way I understand that. 15 cubits upward did the waters prevail, and the mountains were covered. It doesn't say in that region. It doesn't say some of the mountains were covered, does it? Upward did the waters prevail, and the mountains were covered. And so, to me, I think this flood covered the whole earth. But that's my take on it. You decide for yourself. Do you think that you could spend a full year in this ark? Noah did. And so did his family with all those animals. Imagine there's quite a lot of noise. What do you think? But let's consider this scripture for a moment, as was already considered earlier. 2 Peter 2, 4 and 5. For if God spared not the angels that sinned, but cast them down to hell, in the Greek, Tartaru, and delivered them unto chains of darkness to be reserved unto judgment, and spared not the old world, but saved Noah, the eighth person, a preacher of righteousness, bringing in the flood upon the world of the ungodly. So, what happened to the Nephilim? They died. Forever. Some think otherwise. Check your companion Bible and see what they think about it. What happened to the fallen angels who materialized? They were sentenced to Earth's atmosphere and to chains of darkness, and delivered them into chains of darkness to be reserved unto judgment, or I believe, unto the judgment day. Wow, I think that's where we're at right now, in the thousand-year judgment day. What does that mean? What happens to their chains of darkness after the judgment day is reached? And what happens to them? The flood of water prevailed over the earth for 150 days, or 5 months. How well constructed would that ark have to be? Was there something special to the pitch that was applied to the boards? And the meaning of this word in Hebrew? Our next speaker or panel will possibly give you some answers to these questions. And there's more to come, brethren, from our brother Alan Springer, who will talk about the construction of the ark itself and about the corresponding testimonies of science and history.